When that Friday came, sometime later, it wasn't as though the disciples had no idea it was coming. Jesus had been warning them about that fact. Nevertheless, it was a shocking and demoralizing day to his followers. Now, it isn't shocking to any of us because we've heard it so many times. We know, we've learned from Sunday school, we've learned from reading the Gospels, we've learned from going to church. We know that Jesus died on a cross. We know it even probably many people who have never done any of those things have heard enough, have seen the cross necklaces, have seen the pictures with a crucifix with a man on it. They've heard that that was Jesus. And so it's lost a lot of its shocking nature to us. If we've heard the story before, it should still be sobering to us. If we understand the story, it should still sober us, especially seeing how Jesus talked about this day ahead of time. Because he doesn't only include himself in this discussion of death and crosses. He also includes anyone who wants to follow him. Anyone who wants to be a Christian must do a few things that Jesus explains in this passage, where he's warning that he's going to die, that he's going to be raised up on a cross. He then says to his followers, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself. Deny himself. What does it mean for us to deny ourselves? Well, there's a lot of things that are wrapped up in that. One of the most obvious is that we deny ourselves the pleasures of sin, the lusts of the flesh. We deny ourselves things that we know are wrong, that are bad. This is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, who lived his whole life perfectly obedient to his Father. And so if we're to follow in his footsteps, we are to be obedient to our Father as well. And yet there's more to it than simply not giving ourselves to sin. When we deny ourselves, we understand that that means that we are not doing something that we could do, not receiving something that we could receive, not taking something that we could take. And of course, some of those things are wicked, right? But there's many other things that Jesus gave up voluntarily, denied himself by humbling himself and becoming a man in the first place. There was nothing wrong with Jesus being glorified in heaven before he became a man, and yet he denied himself and came to earth. So if we're going to deny ourselves, we need to understand that there is something that goes, I won't sin by being selfish. I won't sin by running after the lusts of the flesh. I'll deny myself those things. If we're going to deny ourselves, we need to look at the things that Jesus denied himself. Jesus, at various times, denied himself in different ways. One of the ways that Jesus denied himself was by fasting. Now today, there's a lot of talk about the health benefits of fasting. And so we deny ourselves for the sake of our health, right? Well, some of us do anyway. I don't. Denying ourselves for the sake of our health by not eating, is that denying ourselves? Well, in one sense, yes, right? But the point of it is so that we would be healthier and not so that we would glorify the Lord in our earthly flesh, right? So there's a difference between fasting for health benefits and fasting the way that Jesus fasted. Jesus denied himself by fasting. Jesus denied himself by going without sleep in order to serve the crowds, the many people. We read about Jesus' desire to get away from the crowds and then how he sees them and he is sorry for them because they are like sheep without a shepherd, and so he stays and he ministers to them. That's him denying himself, isn't it? What else does it look like for us to deny ourselves? Well, there are many things that we may give up in service to the Lord. The advantages of this world, whether they are money, whether they are influence or prestige, there are many things that we deny ourselves by following Christ. Sometimes it has been giving up a career. Sometimes it has been by going into ministry instead of into a career that would have made a lot more money. Sometimes it has been by having children. Is there anything that is more obviously self-sacrificial than bearing children? And yet, even that can be done the same way as fasting can be done, in service to self instead of in service to God, right? And so when Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, we have to understand that it is for the sake of following him. There are many, many people who have been ascetics, who have denied themselves food, comfort, nice clothes, a house, made vows of poverty, for the sake of godless agendas, for the sake of their own glory, for the sake not of following Christ, but for any number of other things. And so, as Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We realize that when he says deny himself, it's in the context of coming after Jesus. Coming after Jesus. Now, he's speaking to the disciples, and you remember elsewhere the disciples say, what about us? We've left everything to follow you. There's no doubt that the disciples wanted to follow Jesus, is there? They gave up everything to follow him. They wanted to follow him. And now Jesus is saying, okay, you want to follow me? Here is how you can follow me. Deny yourself. That's the first one that he gives. The second one that he gives is take up your cross. Now, deny yourself and take up your cross are closely related. But taking up our cross brings it home in a way that is not as It's inescapable in a way that deny yourself isn't. Because a cross is a death instrument. And Jesus has not yet died on the cross. The apostles have not yet come to terms with this, as we see through Peter saying, "No! No! May it never be, Lord!" Right? And to be raised up on a tree is shameful in a way that denying yourself isn't on its own. It's a horrifying thought to be told, take up your cross. As long as you have any understanding of what the cross was, it was the way that capital offenses were punished, but not just capital offenses, but people that the Romans wanted to suffer, wanted to shame. In fact, Roman citizens couldn't be raised up on a cross. Roman citizens never had to take up their cross. It was too bad, too low, too shameful for Roman citizens. And so the idea of taking up your cross starts with a giving up of any idea that you are above that kind of suffering. And isn't that what Jesus did? When Herod questions him, he doesn't answer. What is he doing? He is knowingly walking towards the cross. He's taking up his cross. What are our crosses? What does it look like for us to deny ourselves and then take up our cross? There are many ways that we can carry crosses. In fact, that has entered into our lexicon. It's kind of gone out a little bit, but we have a saying that comes from this that is, that's his cross to bear. That's his cross to bear, which is what we say when somebody has an inescapable suffering that they have to go through and that there's nothing we can do to relieve them from that suffering. Or we can say about ourselves, well, that's just my cross to bear. It's the reality. It stinks, but there's no escaping it. That's just my cross to bear. So what this indicates is that we still understand today that crosses, when Jesus says, take up your cross, he is talking about something that goes beyond denying yourself and goes straight into suffering. A cross can't ever be taken up without it being associated directly with suffering. Crosses are painful. Crosses are shameful. So what are our crosses? Well, they may be simply difficulties that God has ordained for us. Those are the kinds of things that we end up saying, well, that's simply my cross to bear. Sometimes those are health issues. Sometimes those are personality issues or mental issues. If there is some relief that comes through medical treatment, we praise God, and we don't have to bear that cross anymore. But in the meantime, while we wait trusting God, relying on Him to give us strength to carry that cross. Sometimes our crosses are temptations that God has allowed us to face. Temptations that we wish we didn't have to fight against. Sometimes our crosses take more of the form that Jesus took, which is persecution. Persecution for our good behavior. Why else would we say Jesus was crucified than for his goodness? Are we willing to take up our crosses? Are we willing to suffer along with Jesus? Do we want to follow after him? Do we see ourselves as the disciples who have given up everything for him and who want to follow him and want to know how to follow him? And when he says, here's how you follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross. And Mark adds, daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. It starts and ends, this short little deep sentence, if anyone wishes to come after me, and then ends with, and follow me. The implication is that those two middle things, deny himself and take up his cross, are what define what it looks like to come after him, to follow him. It's repeating himself at the end there. But I want to come back to something that I said about denying ourselves and about taking up our cross. Those previous two things, they are how we follow him. But we're not just denying ourselves and keeping a stiff upper lip. All kinds of people do that. We're doing these things for the sake of Jesus and his kingdom. That's what it means to follow him. To die with him is to give up this life. For the one to come, yes. For the sake of his glory, yes. What about for the sake of our love for one another? This, I think, is the place where it is easiest for us to see why we deny ourselves. Out of love for the sake of others. How many of you have ever given up something that you wanted for the sake of somebody else because you loved them? I mean, even if you have been in that situation but had to be reminded that you loved the other person in order for you to do it, you're fighting over the cookies, and then don't you love each other? Well, yeah, come to think of it. Are you willing to give up for the sake of somebody else? For this person you love? I don't know. It's a really yummy looking. What are you doing there? Now, it's easy to see with things that are so simple as cookies. And they're small. And it's discreet and done, right? But when Jesus says daily and following him, what I want you to see is that these are constant things that we're doing for the sake of him. By following him, we learn to be dead to sin, dead to self, dead to the flesh, and live in him. It's practice. It's hard work. It starts with little things. It grows to much bigger things. We try to teach this kind of thing even through manners. Men stand up so that a woman may sit down. It's no great loss. Is it denying yourself? Well, yeah, sitting's more comfortable, right? But are you doing it? You don't want people to think badly of you. Christ calls us to die with him. In 2 Timothy 2:11, we read, "It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him." If we died with him, we will also live with him. So now, that's the promise that's glorious. The disciples know they want to follow Jesus. He's saying ahead of time, you're going to have to die if you want to follow me, because you're going to have to do what I do. You're going to have to be like me. And at first, the disciples say, no, I'm not going to die to myself. And no, Jesus, you can't die to yourself. Otherwise, we'll have to die to ourselves. Isn't that basically what Peter's saying? May it never be, Lord. Why? Well, because Jesus is too good for that, right? But anyone or anything that stands in the way of Christ's work of taking up the cross is Satan, the tempter. This is why Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," when he's talking to Peter. Anyone or anything that tries to prevent us from bearing the crosses we have been given is Satan. Now, what are those things that are temptations to you, preventing you? Perhaps they are your own expectations that you shouldn't have to bear a cross. Maybe they're your own expectations that you shouldn't have to bear that cross. There's all kinds of other crosses you don't mind bearing, but that cross, that one wasn't fair. God, you shouldn't make me bear that cross. It may be that it's a person saying, "Oh no, you shouldn't have to do that. That's asking too much of you." Sometimes you need to look at your fellow Christian brother or sister in Christ and say, "No, you're tempting me away from bearing my crosses." We don't need Joel Osteen to convince us that we shouldn't have to bear crosses, right? He knows we don't want to. He knows we think we don't have to. This is why everybody buys his books. Well, he's not convincing us. But he can be tempting to us. Christ died. He walked that road, and that's the road he commands us to follow him on. And why did he die? He died because of his great love for us. So if we are to follow him, then this, what happened on that Friday so many years ago, this crucifixion of his is his greatest and perfect example of love. Isn't it a beautiful example? Do we want to follow him? We do, don't we? Is it going to be painful? It was painful for him. It's probably going to be painful for us. But what will the result be? We will live with him. We will live with him if we follow him.